Grace, mercy, and peace be yours in abundance from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. While technically I realize that we aren't officially in winter yet, I'm probably not alone in saying after this weekend's snow, I can't wait for spring. Probably, judging by your reaction, there's probably lots of you feeling that way. The white stuff is kind of pretty. It'd be nice for Christmas, and then it can all just kind of go away, and spring can get here, right? Well, the sign of spring is usually the buds starting to come out on the branches. In fact, the leaves are a large sign of what season we're in. The leaves starting to come out is spring. The full growth is summer. The leaves starting to change colors in fall lets us know that fall is here, and their complete absence lets us know that it's winter. Well, today in our text from the prophet Jeremiah, he says, "I will make a righteous branch sprout." And he's speaking of a tree that is leafing out as a picture of the King of Kings. As we enter this season of Advent today and we look at this picture of a king leafing out, please join me in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. My dear Christian friends, as we said, the sign of the change of the seasons is the leaves themselves. Maybe you've seen this one before. Can everybody read it okay? Otherwise, I'll read it for you. Now, part of the humor in that is you know how Lucy is. She's very demanding. And everyone listens to Lucy. And so part of the frustration is that this leaf just won't listen. Now, I don't know about you, but my experience with leaves is pretty much the same thing. They just don't listen, especially the leaves that tend to blow into my yard from my neighbors. I try to keep them out, but they just don't listen. They just kind of keep blowing in, don't they? But what a picture of you and me. We are leaves of a sort that just kind of do our own thing, and we can't do anything but help do our own thing all on our own. And the truth is that left to ourselves, we too are bound for that cataclysmic pile of leaves and the hellish burning pile that we deserve. We're fluttering and falling in sin, left to failure and despair, and on our own, there is absolutely nothing that we can do about it. Well, in our text for today, God is using the prophet Jeremiah to reach out to proclaim to similar people who are in the autumn of their lives, looking at the very same situation that we are in, lost in sin, condemned to eternal death. And he gives us a sign that there is life. From the prophet Jeremiah, he says, "I will make a righteous branch sprout." Now, if I think of it in terms of my neighbor's leaves, I don't want to see another plant sprouting life because it just means more leaves blowing into my yard. But in this case, as we look more closely at this branch, we realize it's not so much a what, but it is a who. Who is this promised branch? It is from the royal line, the promised Messiah, the Savior of the world, rooted in promise that goes back to the Old Testament, back to Adam and Eve with that first promise of a Savior, and that promise is given again and again and again. This king who leafed out is one who is rooted in the very promises of God and his word. And this whole idea of the root springing up and leaves coming forward is a sign that he is coming again to get us prepared for his return. Finally, that's what this Advent season is all about, isn't it? It's not about getting ready for Christmas and the shopping and the parties and everything that's there. It's not about getting ready to celebrate our Christ's birth. It's about getting ready to celebrate his second coming, when he will come again. One author describes it this way: the Advent season, in its liturgical observance, is devoted to the coming of God at the end of history, when Jesus shall reign as king. The time is chiefly a celebration of the coming of our God in ultimate triumph. Advent reminds us, through the fact that Jesus came the first time, that God made good on his promise the first time, that he will make good on this promise too. And when he says that Jesus will come again, Jesus will in fact come again, just as it has been said. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the gracious promise I made to the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. Yeah, and the birth of Jesus, majestic fulfillment, beautiful fulfillment of God's promise to send the Savior the first time. But now here we find that there is an ultimate completion that will occur. The gospel of Christ is rooted in that promise. And that promise reaches through our Lord's nativity and incarnation all the way back to when he will come again. Look at the prophet Isaiah. He says, he grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. Isaiah identified him, and Jesus attests to the very same, that he is who Isaiah prophesied. He said, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright morning star. So now, as this root, while his roots are buried in ancient promises, he branches out from the royal family of Israel, again from Jeremiah. In those days and at that time, I will make a righteous branch to sprout from David's line, and he will do what is just and right in the land. So while he's rooted in promise, he also branches out through human history. As we see those leaves, those branches begin to branch out, we recognize just who he is, that he is of the line of David, that descendant of King David, the greatest of Israel's kings, the son of Jesse. And that he goes back all the way, can follow his lineage through his grandparents, Boaz and Ruth, through those kings of Judah, through Jacob and Isaac and Abraham. And you can keep going all the way back to Noah and even to Adam and Eve, to that first promise, and see that lineage that is there. As he branches out through the course of human history, but not just the past. He also reaches out through the present, because he's still branching out through human history today. I mean, he's entered your life and mine through the waters of baptism. He grows in us and we in him through God's word and his sacraments. He comes to allay our fears, to love us, befriend us, to help us, forgive us. He went out on a limb for us, literally, allowing himself to be nailed to that tree, that cross. Humanity would have been plunged into sin eternally when Adam and Eve fell into sin. But for our Savior Jesus, who exchanged places with us, who took our sin onto himself, who allowed himself to be nailed to that tree to redeem us so that we might dwell with him forever. Jeremiah writes, he came to do what is just and right in the land because the Lord is our righteousness. And so Jesus is rooted in promise. He branches out through human history, and now he is the one who leafs out fully as the dazzling tree of life. Do you remember that tree back in the garden, the tree of life? There were the two trees, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life. And Adam and Eve could eat from any tree in the garden, including the tree of life. But they weren't to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. In fact, a two-year-old could have followed those directions, right? Don't eat from that one. Everything else, you're fine. Got it, Lord. But the temptation was great, and Adam and Eve ate and plunged all of human history into sin. And they ended up having to be removed from that garden because even though God had promised them their salvation, that they would not die eternally, he didn't want them tempted to eat from that tree of life and continuing to live in sin forever and never know the eternal life that he had waiting for them. And so for their own protection, he pulled them from that tree of life. And then at some point, probably at the time of the flood, those trees were wiped out. But that isn't the last that we will hear of the tree of life. The tree of life is there, promised in the book of Revelation, that it will be there as that tree, Jesus being the tree of life that gives us our eternal life, just as he promised. Revelation chapter 22 says, "The leaves of this tree are for the healing of the nations." An author by the name of Angela Elwell Hunt has retold a traditional folk tale called The Three Trees. Some of you might be familiar with it. I'd like to read it for you today. It says, "Three young trees grew as a little family atop a high mountain. They dreamed of what it would be like. They dreamed of what they would like to be. One delighted in the glitter of the star-filled nights and said, 'I want to be covered with gold and filled with precious stones. I want to be the most beautiful treasure chest in the world.' The second tree grew near a trickling brook that wended its way into a river and finally out to sea. 'I want to be a strong sailing ship, traveling mighty waters and carrying powerful kings.' The third tree looked down on the villages in the valley below and said, 'I want to grow so tall that when people stop to look at me, they will raise their eyes to heaven and think of God.'" Lofty aspirations, huh? Well, years passed by. One day, three woodcutters arrived. One by one, the trees fell to the woodcutters' axes. The first tree, who wanted to be a treasure chest, was made into a feed box. The second tree, who dreamed of becoming a majestic sailing ship, was made into a tiny fishing boat. And the third tree, who wanted to grow so high, was simply turned into lumber. Well, years later, the feed box found itself holding a baby and drenched in golden starlight. Suddenly, the first tree knew it was holding the world's greatest treasure. The second tree found itself sailing on the waters of a small lake. One evening, a wearied traveler and his companions climbed aboard the little boat, only to encounter a terrific storm. The tired man had gone to sleep. The other passengers were terrified. But when the tired man awoke, he stretched out his hand and ordered the storm to end. The second tree then knew it was carrying the greatest king of all. One Friday, some months later, the third tree was startled to discover it was being removed from the lumberyard. It flinched as it was carried through a jeering mob. It shuddered when soldiers nailed a man's hands to its branched arms. It felt abused and misused. But by Sunday morning, the third tree knew that God's love had turned the ugliness of Good Friday into the beauty of Easter. God's love made flesh had made the first tree beautiful beyond its dreams. The second tree was honored to carry a king far more majestic than it had hoped. And the third tree would now cause everyone to think of God each time they saw its cross-shaped silhouette. Now, maybe your life hasn't turned out quite the way you thought it would either. The inexplicable, the intangible, the unexpected have all made your life take some curious turns, make you wonder, what is God thinking? What could God possibly have planned? And while that story of the three trees is nothing but a fable, the truth is that God has a way of accomplishing his purposes to the glory of his name. I mean, just look at that story of the king who leafed out. There is promise and there is fulfillment, so that when he says that you will be in heaven with him for eternity, there is promise. And because he continues to fulfill promise after promise, that promise will also be fulfilled. And in the meantime, he's the answer to every troubling question and the only source of hope and light in our sin-darkened world. So hang on to Jesus. He is rooted in promise. He branches out through human history, including yours, and he leaps out as a sign that joy awaits all those who are sheltered under his cross. There is nothing in this life to anxiously fear. There is only his arrival to eagerly anticipate. And we pray, come, Lord Jesus, quickly come. Amen.